This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. The Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District and NRCS hosted a cover crop meeting yesterday afternoon at the Lincoln Land Community College in Litchfield. I stopped by and had a chance to talk with Dick Lyons. Dick was one of the speakers for the meeting, and we discussed a couple of topics he was presenting on. Dick, before we get started, remind us again where you're from and just a little history about yourself.
Well, I'm from rural Harville. I live about a mile west of Harville. I farm up in that area. I've been there for 44 years. During that same time frame, I was an instructor for 30 years at Lincoln Land Community College and then 2 years at Illinois State University.
And today you're representing one of many roles that you have, but the Council on Best Management Practices, and you have been speaking on a couple of different topics, one of those being the nutrient loss reduction strategy. So just explain to us what you've been telling farmers here today and why the strategy is so important.
Well, the strategy is important for us in this country because it means clean water flowing down the Mississippi River into the Gulf of Mexico. Unfortunately, Illinois is the major contributor of all the 31 states in nitrates going down, as well as phosphorus. And so what we're doing today is talking about how cover crops are a major component of how we can reduce the amount of nitrates and phosphorus flowing down the river. And that's, we're here today is not only to teach, but to emphasize the importance of us doing the right thing for water quality.
This strategy has been talked about a lot lately over the last year, and I think it's going to be continued to be talked about. But one thing that this strategy can really help farmers do is to try to hold off regulations that could occur from this nitrogen loss. And is that something that you are explaining today as you're talking?
Yes, I have been. I spent the first full week in December, my wife and I went out to the Delmarva Peninsula to determine what was going on in and around the Chesapeake Bay. They have been under regulations since 2010. They were actually, it was a voluntary program like ours has started out to be. But then when they didn't make progress, they were then regulated by the US EPA through the local state EPAs. I don't want this to happen in Illinois. I want to promote farmers to do cover crops, get on top of their nitrogen management scheme. Not that they're not doing a good job of raising crops yield-wise, but we have to do a better job of controlling what's leaving the land. Use our nitrogen for the crop, keep it in the crop, not going down the Mississippi River.
Another benefit that you're going to touch on today as well, or you probably already have, is from cover crops, you can have improved soil health. Explain to us some of those benefits or how they do that.
Well, the improvement in soil health, this is kind of the sequence that we're doing with the Council on Best Management Practices. The last 2 years we've been out promoting cover crops. This today here in Lincoln Land, we had a morning session for beginners. This afternoon we're having an advanced cover crop session. The last program today as far as speakers will be myself, and we're going to be talking about improving soil health with cover crops. We are, and I say we, it's the Council on Best Management Practices, the Farmland Institute. There's about three or four alphabet soup organizations working together to put together a soil health training programs for next 2 years. We'll be talking about soil health and how we can improve that resilience of the soil health to handle adverse conditions and weather. Some of the things may be too much drought, too much rain, and not enough sunlight, whatever it takes to really degrade soils. We're going to be working on how we can improve those soils, especially with cover crops.
Anything that I haven't asked you already about cover crops or about the meeting today that you'd like to add, or maybe about Council on Best Management Practices?
Well, the Council of Best Management Practices, we have five representatives. We cover the entire state of Illinois. Here in the south central area, to the west is my counties. I have 22 counties. To the east is really what I consider one of the finest young agronomists in the area, and that's Chris Reynolds. Chris not only is the resource conservationist for Montgomery County, but he also covers 18 counties in the eastern part of central Illinois. And I think the important thing to realize is We got a couple generations here working on this, and it's really working out well for the council. We have the most meetings, we have the best attendance, and I think we really complement each other.
Dick Lyons, farmer from Harville and cover crop specialist for the Council on Best Management Practices. We'll be back with more after these messages. Syngenta and ChemChina have come to terms with a $43 billion deal that will transfer Syngenta to the state-owned Chinese company. The deal is the largest ever purchase by a Chinese firm and was officially announced by both companies on Wednesday. The merger comes just weeks after Dow and DuPont announced merger plans and raised more red flags over consolidation in agribusiness. However, one agriculture expert sees differences between the two deals. Farm interests in the United States have already voiced concern over the planned Dow and DuPont merger that would create a $95 billion pesticide and seed giant and poses a risk of reducing industry competition and jobs. Now comes China National Chemical's more than $43 billion offer to buy Syngenta, which brings into question more consolidation in the industry. American Farm Bureau's Bob Young says, however, this does not change competition in the United States.
You could almost say that what this proposal does is leave the same number of firms on the ground here in the United States. It just, you know, happens that instead of being owned by somebody in Switzerland, it's owned by somebody in China. So from our perspective, you know, what's really the difference?
Young says that differs when talking about the Dow-DuPont merger.
Dow had an ag component, DuPont had an ag component, and so that was, you know, two ag components that, you know, once that merger is finished, there's only going to be one ag component left.
The National Farmers Union says Syngenta would be owned by a company controlled by the Chinese government, raising concerns it would not act in economically predictable ways. The deal may need security approval from the U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment that nixed an earlier Chinese buy of a U.S. firm. More recently, however, Shanghai International bought U.S. pork producer Smithfield Foods. The only reason the deal between foreign companies may face U.S. regulatory approval is because the U.S. sees agriculture as part of national security. Syngenta is the top pesticide seller by revenue in North America and sells 10% of soybean seeds in the United States, while accounting for 6% of U.S. corn seed sales. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service today announced the finalization of new federal standards to reduce salmonella and campylobacter in ground chicken and turkey products, as well as in raw chicken breasts, legs, and wings. Based on scientific risk assessments, the Food Safety and Inspection Service estimates that the implementation of these standards will lead to an average of 50,000 prevented illnesses annually. As part of the move to make chicken and turkey items that Americans frequently purchase safer to eat, the service has also updated its microbial testing schedule at poultry facilities and will soon begin posting more information online about individual companies' food safety performance. By making the standards for ground poultry tougher to meet, ground poultry products nationwide will have less contamination and therefore result in fewer foodborne illnesses. The Food Safety Inspection Service implemented performance standards for whole chickens in 1996, but has since learned that salmonella levels increase as chicken is further processed into parts. Poultry parts like breasts, wings, and others represent 80% of the chicken available for Americans to purchase. By creating a standard for chicken parts and by performing regulatory testing at a point closer to the final product, consumer exposure to the bacteria will be greatly reduced. And that's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.